So you know that waggle dance? That dance that a bee does to show the rest of the hive where to find a new food source. Well, that was discovered by another German scientist. His name was Carl von Frisch. He later won a Nobel Prize for the discovery. And Frisch had a lot of reasons to be grateful to bees. He was targeted by the Nazis during World War II and denounced for having Jewish ancestry, but it was his work on bees that saved his career. Steve's been reading Tanya Munz's biography of von Frisch, and she says he began by discovering that bees can see different colors.
They are able to see ultraviolet light. They're able to see polarized light. So they have a different sensibility about the natural world around them. And that's really what Carl von Frisch was exploring. He was really trying to figure out how do bees see their world.
And didn't he also figure out some things about where bees actually have their receptors on their body to detect smell and even sort of the sense of space, too?
Yes. And in fact, he realized that those senses were co-located. So in a way, they would be able to smell space. So it's a very different sensory apparatus.
What does that mean, to smell space?
That the receptors of space have a co-located receptor of odor. So we can't really answer that. I mean, I can't translate that for you.
I mean, it's just, it's this whole different way of perceiving the world, I guess.
Yes.
Wow. So the discovery that really put him on the map was figuring out how honeybees communicate with each other, specifically through this elaborate dance that has been called the waggle dance. And people had seen this for centuries. I mean, people knew that bees do this dance, but they never knew why. And then he comes along and figures it out.
Yes. So Aristotle had written about how the bees shake, and he basically described the honeybee dances. And beekeepers also for centuries had speculated about bees recruiting one another to food sources. And then there was also so much lore over the centuries about how bees might manage the complex politics of the hive, right? When you look into a hive, you really see a society. So Carl von Frisch noticed that when a dish was empty, where a bee had previously been feeding, that a bee might come back now and again to check on this food dish. When he filled it up, he realized that lots of bees appear very quickly.
He figured out that these bees were telling the other bees, oh, come and check it out.
Exactly. And then when he looked into the hive, he discovered that the bees seemed to perform these kinds of dances. And the waggle dance is in the shape of a figure eight. And over the course of von Frisch's research, he surmised that bees with the waggle dance were able to indicate the distance and direction of food sources. They're actually indicating via their dances how far away they should be searching for foods.
Mm. So let me see if I understand this. So an individual bee might go off maybe for miles from the hive looking for food sources, will find something delicious, then will come back to the hive and will have to tell the other bees, hey, this is what I found, and get them to follow. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. When you think about a figure eight that's sort of smushed in the middle where there's kind of a straight portion between the two half circles, the straight run portion of that figure eight, the bee transposed in the hive by the same angle as she flew out to that food source with respect to the sun. So the straight run portion tells the other bees what direction from the sun they should be flying in. And the frequency with which the bees dances her figure eight tells them how far away. So the farther away, the more sluggish the bee dances, the closer, the faster she dances.
Wow. How did he figure this out?
So Carl von Frisch had a very simple technique by which he was able to keep track of individual bees. He painted little dots on the thoracic and abdominal sections of the bees' bodies to indicate decimal space.
Wait. He got out a paintbrush and
he
painted dots on individual bees. So somehow he had to slow them down and, you know, I don't know, anesthetize them in some way?
Not anesthetize them. He actually, in his books, he shows he uses these kind of like mesh pincers to carefully hold the bee in place, and then with a very steady hand, make a little colored dot onto the body of the bee to number it.
So he marked different bees with different colors then?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then somehow managed to track them over long distances to see where they were flying.
Actually, tracking them while they were flying was really difficult and elusive. And there's all these accounts of how they try to string up white sheets to see and observe their flight. That part was really tricky. But what they could do is they could make a note in their lab notebooks that this bee fed in the hive. And then somebody else could say that same bee, let's say it's number 12, arrived at this time out in the field.
So this is really an amazing means of communication, which I don't know if it had ever been discovered before in the animal world. I mean, such precise directions on where to go.
This finding on honeybees really was considered a sensation. I mean, this discovery that an animal as lowly as a honeybee would possess something that seemed like symbolic communication really captured the attention of lots of different people in lots of different disciplines. This was a big deal. And then by the 1960s, the honeybees had emerged as the most common form of non-human communication that was studied.
Right. So Carl von Frisch had made this amazing discovery. He built up quite a name for himself, especially in German science. But then there's another story, a sort of a parallel story to all of this. He ran into trouble when the Nazis came to power in 1933. What happened?
One of the first things that the Nazis did after Hitler was chancellor was to have all civil servants fill out papers to prove that they were Aryan, that their ancestry was properly Aryan according to their standards. And Carl von Frisch filled out his papers in 1933 and indicated that his parents and grandparents were all Roman Catholic. But over the years, in the 30s, denunciations against von Frisch start to accumulate. And of course, this was a period when there were many denunciations and really nobody was safe. And then in late 1940, the Nazi government actually finds evidence that his maternal grandmother, in fact, was Jewish and that her parents converted to Catholicism shortly before she was born. So as part of many people in the 19th century, as they became assimilated and they became part of the bourgeoisie, would convert to Catholicism or to Christianity. And so in early 1941, Carl von Frisch gets a letter from the university that says, "We will force you into retirement because according to the 1937 law, you are no longer eligible to teach and you have been found to be a quarter Jewish."
It wasn't there a phrase, "You are a second degree crossbreed"?
Yes, exactly. So this kind of chilling accounting that was done by the Nazis, when one grandparent was Jewish, the classification was second degree crossbreed.
Well, the way you write about this, too, I mean, it's sort of fascinating how this happened because, I mean, he enlisted various prominent German scientists to come to his defense, and they did. But that wasn't enough. Then there was a bee plague that broke out, threatening to wipe out Germany's bees. And actually, the president of the South Bavarian Beekeepers Association came out to his defense, appealed directly to the Nazi headquarters to save his job.
And the reason being that there's a bee plague, it's called Nosema apis, it's a microsporidium that infects bees and it flares up at certain times. And it was, at that time, devastating Central European bee populations. And because food was so important in World War II, and in fact, a lot of how Germany interpreted its loss in World War I was because of food shortages, that part of why they lost was because of the British blockade. There wasn't enough food. And here they were again, locked into this grinding war of attrition, and they needed to feed the troops. They needed to feed the home front. And von Frisch's work on honeybees, on this bee plague, promised to help alleviate food shortages.
So for very practical reasons, he was kept on the job to help fight this plague.
Very much so.
Do we know what Carl von Frisch actually thought about the Nazis and specifically their efforts to purge Jews from the academy?
You know, I spent so many years, about 10 years in his letters and archives, but he's somebody who was actually very reserved. I actually very rarely caught glimpses of his sort of more emotional life. There are some indications, though. I know that he very much bridled at the fact that the Nazis told him who he could and couldn't hire. He kept in touch with his students after they left. He put in a good word for scientists in Poland after they were all arrested and interned in the Dachau concentration camp. So he was no friend of the regimes, but he wasn't a full-out active resistor either. And I think in some ways, that's what makes his story so challenging, but it's also a part that makes it really worth paying attention to.
That's Tanya Munz talking with Steve Paulson. Her biography of Carl von Frisch is called The Dancing Bees.